From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are news. We are information. We are leaving Park City, Utah. Hey, I'm Rachel Martin, hosting solo for the first time, while Allison Stewart makes her way back from snowy Park City, where she's been giving us all sorts of good stuff from the Sundance Film Festival. It's January 22nd, 2008. Here to help me along this radio journey today is newswoman extraordinaire Korva Coleman in Washington, D.C. Hey,
yeah,
Korva.
You are in the world headquarters of the Bryant Park Project in New York. I am down in the NPR lean-to here in Washington, D.C.
Indeed, and Allison is now, they have left Park City, our team there. They are back in New York. They will be back with us tomorrow in the studio, and I imagine Park City residents are breathing a heavy sigh of relief as they get their little mountain town back. It's
Man,
been crazy
it's
there.
Oh, but can you imagine? Wouldn't you just want to live there for a little, just this weekend?
I know. It's such a fun place. And I have actually, full disclosure, have a good friend who was helping us blog some of what's been going on in Park City. His name's Ryan Alexiev, and he was part of the group called Cause Collective. It's this group of multimedia artists, and it was their first time at Sundance, and they had this really cool video project, this video mosaic, and I emailed with Ryan yesterday to say, how's it going? You're packing up, you're
sad.
What
did he say? What did he
and
say?
He said it really turned out well. He says, hey, Rachel, after the rough start, things are going awesome out here. People want to buy the piece. Met millions of stars and industry bigwigs, and now I'm out the door to finally hit some skiing. It's been
no more Gucci glasses for him.
Nope, he's done, but it sounds like it was a really great trip. So we'll be happy to have our team back in studio tomorrow. In the meantime, we have all kinds of good stuff on docket for today. We're going to talk to a reporter in China who did a story, it's a disturbing, provocative story, about a man who was caged by his family because he was mentally ill. And the culture there is such that there's not a whole lot of mental health care. And so this is what leads people to take some pretty drastic measures. We will talk to him about that, the implications of that story.
Also, looking ahead, looks like the best song in the world is coming up.
The best song in the world?
Yeah.
That's so exciting. That
yeah,
sounds
wait,
so
wait
big
till
and
you
global.
Hear it. Wait till you hear it. It's going to be charming.
Our editor, Trish McKinney, is going to walk us through that. Also, we'll continue our series on extreme hobbies. Today, we'll talk with Jordan Wright, a man who's been collecting campaign memorabilia since the age of 10. Today, his collection consists of over a million pieces, everything from metal parade torches for John Adams to I Like Ike suspenders.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it. Listen, that's not the only thing in fashion we're going to talk about, is it?
It's not. We're going to talk about Paris Fashion Week. I know everyone cares about that. Even if you don't, we're going to explain why maybe you should. So stick around. We're going to get to the news with my friend Korva in just a minute. But first, here's the BPP's big story. The knives come out in South Carolina just 5 days before that state's Democratic primary. Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton engaged in some of the sharpest exchanges in the campaign so far. It all went down last night in a debate in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It started in response to a question about fiscal conservatism, but the discussion quickly turned to one of credibility, with both Clinton and Obama faulting the other for changing positions. It all took place against a backdrop of former President Bill Clinton's increasingly sharp jabs at Obama. Here's how it started.
When Senator Clinton or President Clinton asserts that I said that the Republicans had had better economic policies since 1980, that is not the case. Now, the viewers aren't concerned with this kind of back and forth. What they're concerned about is who's actually going to help them get health care, how are they going to get their kids going to college, and that's the kind of campaign I've tried to run. I think that's the kind of campaign we should all try to run.
Well, I couldn't agree more, but I do think that your record and what you say does matter. And when it comes to a lot of the issues that are important in this race, it is sometimes difficult to understand what Senator Obama has said, because as soon as he is confronted on it, he says that's not what he meant.
Clinton went on to insist that Obama recently expressed admiration for many Republican economic policies. Obama said that's not what he said.
What I said was that Ronald Reagan was a transformative political figure because he was able to get Democrats to vote against their economic interests to form a majority to push through their agenda, an agenda that I objected to because while I was working on those streets, watching those folks see their jobs shipped overseas, you were a corporate lawyer sitting on the board of Walmart. I was fighting these fights. So I want to be clear. What I said had nothing to do with their policies. I spent a lifetime fighting against Ronald Reagan's policies. But what I did say is that we have to be thinking in the same transformative way about our Democratic agenda. We've got to appeal to independents and Republicans in order to build a working majority to move an agenda forward. That is what I said. Now, you can dispute that, but let me finish. Hillary, you went on for 2 minutes. Let me finish. The irony of this is that you provided much more fulsome praise of Ronald Reagan in a book by Tom Brokaw that's being published right now, as did Bill Clinton in the past. So these are the kinds of political games that we are accustomed to.
The crosstalk got out of hand for a minute, but moderator Wolf Blitzer eventually regained control of the situation. He gave Senator Clinton a chance to respond.
In an editorial board with the Reno newspaper, you said two different things because I have read the transcript. Mm-hmm. You talked about Ronald Reagan being a transformative political leader. I did not mention his name.
Your husband did.
Well, I'm here. He's not.
Okay, well, and I can't tell who I'm running against sometimes.
Jerry, that's an especially loaded line from Obama when you consider reports this week that Democratic leaders Ted Kennedy and Rahm Emanuel have called on the former president to tone down the attacks on Obama. But back to the debate. Somebody else was there, too. John Edwards. When he got a little mic time, here's what he did with it.
What I want to say first is, are there three people in this debate? Not two. And I also want to know on behalf of voters here in South Carolina, this kind of squabbling, how many children is this going to get health care?
And it's only Tuesday, kids. There's more to come. South Carolina holds its Democratic primary Saturday, and that is the BPP big story. Now here's Corva Coleman with the news.